If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we are today. If you'd open that, that'd be outstanding. Now, you know, what's interesting is it dawned on me this recently, I'm going to be 55 this summer. That sounds old, doesn't it? That's like a senior citizen. I get a card and everything, I think, for that. But, you know, it's fascinating to think about how the world has changed even in my lifetime. It's gotten global. I don't remember it being fully global when I was a kid. Now it's fully global, and that's influenced a lot of things. You know, one of the things that's influenced is even in the church, as we recognize the value that we're a part of a global church, global sea. And I think sometimes, though, we get out of balance in our day. Because when you really look at your Bible, we just studied the churches at Revelation. Those were written to specific local churches. If you look at your New Testament, the church at Corinth, that's a local church. And this is very important. Though we are a part of the Big C church, we've gotten a little bit out of balance in our church of our day because we put more emphasis sometimes on the global church. But it's in the local church, that's where discipleship happens. That's where we know one another. And this is why the Bible puts so much of an emphasis on local churches. You're to be a part of a local church that knows you, where you're known and you're growing up in your faith. And as we look at as our church, we're in the year of the disciple, processing how we grow up in our faith. The book of Corinthians is a helpful book as we see discipleship revealed in the life of a local church. And I think that's valuable. And let's recognize this is God's word to us. This is not, though in our, I loved what Peter Williams said, a guy that wrote, he was the lead scholar for the ESV Bible. He said, when I was at a conference with him, he said, you know, you need to read an old commentary if you read a new commentary. Our old commentaries had a habit of saying, God says this. Our newer commentaries put a little more emphasis on Paul said this. Not bad. I'm not saying the new commentaries don't recognize this as the word of God, but I do think it's important that we see that God spoke to local churches, and we need to be a part of the local. And our world is getting more and more divided. It's fascinating to watch. And what God does with the church all through history is he unifies the church. Over the next, up until Easter, we're going to be looking at how God brought the Corinthian church together to a unified work. And he unified them. And that's important for us as we embrace this lesson of unification, that God expects us to be a unified church. And we are connected with this supernatural unity in the we have this gospel kind of shaped togetherness, this mission that we're called to that unites us. And this is a calling we have as a local church where we are growing up in our faith. And the church at Corinth is a vital backdrop. It's a pretty interesting backdrop because what you see in the church of Corinth, there are Jews and Gentiles coming together. This is a big deal in the early church. Jews and Gentiles coming together caused a lot of friction. You see in the Corinthian church, men and women trying to serve together. You see rich and poor serving together. It's a fascinating book that has been written to the church of all time to process, to understand, to wrestle through unity. And I pray that we catch the calling of being a unified church. Now, here's what I want us to do as we read the text today. I want you to try to pay attention to what we're called to. I think the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 reveal some things that we're called to do as a church, locally, one another, as we walk together. Let's stand together in honor of God's word, and we're going to read 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9. And I pray that the Lord speaks to us and helps us understand our calling together as a church. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking any gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now let's look at this passage and process what God might have for us today. And you know, Corinth was one of the most influential cities of their day. It was wealthy. It was diverse. They were proud. They were intellectuals. There was a lot of smart people there. There were educated people there. It was a place, it was a community that was sexually broken. They struggled with moral depravity. They were religiously pluralistic, meaning they believed in a lot of ways to God, and you could worship anything. Now, I'll be honest with you, Tulsa's not Corinth, but we have some similar struggles, and that's humanity, isn't it? You know, I look at our world, and we're in a world, in a nation that says, hey, believe whatever you want. You can just, if this is good for you, that's good. It's not good for me. You know, it's your belief in Christ. We live in a world where when it comes to our faith, it should be private. Hey, don't make your faith public. No, that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to live a private faith in Christ. We're called to go to our workplace and be a witness. We're called to make a difference in this community. We're called to be leaders in this place. We're called to influence every aspect of our society. This is why I pray as a church, we infiltrate every suburb, every school system, every part of this culture. I pray that we do. And but we live in a day where a lot of people say, well, Jesus is a way, but he's not the way. Well, that's problematic for us because we understand, like the Lord's Supper, Jesus is the only one who conquered the grave. Nobody else defeated the grave. Jesus is the only way to heaven. This is true. We live in a day where church is optional for people. Oh, I'm just part of the Big C church. I don't need to be involved in a local body. Well, that's misunderstanding what God has revealed in Scripture. The whole of the New Testament is a local body. Philemon, a local body. That's a man, but he was in charge of a church at his house. You have Ephesus, Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. You have Corinthians, the church at Corinth. Now look at verse 1, and I think we got to understand that the Corinthian church was recognizing they were called to that place. Well, let's understand this about us. If you're taking notes, this is worthy of writing down. We're called to this place. We're called to this place together. Look at verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Okay, this is where he understands his apostleship. That's an office that died with the men that saw Jesus. Paul claimed apostleship from his encounter on the road to Damascus. But he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And look at this, our brother Sosthenes. You know, he knows him. We're to know one another. You see this. To the church of God that is in Corinth. Let's not miss this. Don't miss this. They live in Corinth, but let's understand where the church, what church they were a part of. They weren't in charge. They weren't a part of First Baptist Corinth, if you will. It wasn't a Baptist church. I just wanted to say that. It was the church of God. You know what we're a part of? We're part of the church of God in this place. Yes, our name is First Baptist Owosso, but can I tell you whose idea it was to start this church? God. They're part of the church of God in that place. in that specific place. That's important to understand that this is, we're a part of something that God has done among us, and we've got to catch this. The church at Corinth needed to understand this. They were a part of a work of God. And this puts it in perspective for us that we're not just doing our own thing here. We're called to follow the Lord and serve the Lord. And he says, he goes on, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together. Look, this is those that have experienced forgiveness, salvation, those that are sanctified in Christ. What does that mean? It means they're growing up in their faith. Sanctification is this lifelong process of spiritual growth, which should mark us as followers of Christ. You're never going to arrive. The day that you're done growing is the day you go to heaven. And we've got more to learn and more to grow in our faith, in our life. And he's writing this letter to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. They are called to be saints together with those in every place that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, both their Lord and ours. But he's putting it into a local body that you are called together. You're called to that place. And I think this is something for us. We've got to understand that we live here. We're called to this place. We're called to serve the Lord right here, known among one another. It's why we had dinner with the pastor the last 2 weeks, is because people are joining our church. Austin Bowler, who got baptized today, joined our church Wednesday night and needed to be baptized and followed through today. And you know, this is part of what we should expect. We're called to walk together. And this is an important revelation. We're called to this place. Look at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we got to learn not to skip over these introductions, because he articulates grace to you and peace from God our Father. We understand this. We are people who have been forgiven. We understand grace. We understand that it's a gift that we've been given that we don't deserve. We all walk into this room with pasts, and we have mistakes that we've made in our past. But we understand the grace of God. For me, often before I get up and preach, I feel a spiritual attack from the enemy going, you shouldn't preach. And I always bring up something that happened in the eighth grade in my head. Why that's the case, I don't know, but it's this eighth grade mistake I made. And I always feel that guilt. And I've learned to go, you know what? Lord, thank you for forgiving me when I was in the eighth grade. I mean, man, he forgave me from stuff I did yesterday. I'm thankful. And even today, I'm thankful. We understand the grace of God because God rescued us from our past. We understand this gift that we've been given. We're a forgiven people. That moves us to be a grateful people because we've been reconciled to God. And this is what's cool about the Corinthian church. They were people of different backgrounds, Jews and Gentiles, that had this common forgiveness. They had the men and women that were coming together to try to work together. They had this common grace that led to this real peace of God. And so this grace and peace that the Bible talks about, God, that Paul writes about, we understand this. It unites us. It moves us. And this is where we learn about that in this place. Sosthenes. I guarantee you, Paul knew about Sosthenes' forgiveness, how God had worked in his life, how God had helped him. And this is the beauty of being a part of a local church. We know our story. We know where we've come from, and we're walking together. And you see this. Now, you see this calling to that place in Corinth, and this unites us, and I pray this unites us here. But another thing that the church at Corinth had to understand, they were not only called to that place, they were called to speak up. And can I tell you something that, for us, we're called to speak up. We're called to speak up about our faith. Look at verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. So Paul understands, I know about the grace that was given to you in that church. They understood where they've come from, all that they've grown through, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. What a fascinating description of, man, what you've told me about your faith has enriched me. The speech that you have given, the words that have come out of your mouth, the story of your lives, it is enriched to me. And this is what we are to do in a culture, in a community, that our speech is to be enriching to a world, the world around us, that we're to be encouraging. And when people hear our story, it's to be, it lifts them, it enriches them. I love that depiction. Our speech, God's word comes out of us. The story of God comes out of us. It's enriching. The knowledge of God that God gives, it's enriching. And this is what God has done with us. Think about the knowledge God gives to us, even right now, as we consider the buildup of warships in Iran. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us that as followers of Christ, he has always prepared his people for the future. We don't sit here today paralyzed in fear. Does it move us to pray for Iran? Yes. Does it move us to pray for God's word to speak to people? Yes. But can I tell you, when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, we understand that these are things that God has revealed in his word to prepare us for the future. And what does the knowledge of God do for us? It enriches us. It helps us understand that we have a future. Despite the difficult week I've had, as we have walked with I've walked with two separate families through very difficult funerals this week. But yet, despite the pain, despite the grief, despite the loss, can I tell you there's future and there's a hope because of the cross and the resurrection, because of how God has revealed knowledge that prepares us for the future. And this knowledge is enriching to us. It's comforting to us. It's revealing to us. And that's why our speech, we got to speak up about what God has said, what God is doing, what God has done in our lives. And this is why we can't be quiet about our faith. This is why it's right for us to go on a workplace mission trip. That's why it's right for us to be an ambassador for Christ, to influence a city. And this is where Corinth was. They were called to go. They were planted in this city that was kind of a tough spot. They were living at a tough time. I would argue that though Tulsa, I mean, I love living here, but we live in a culture in America that's becoming a tougher spot. It's becoming more and more costly to follow Jesus. People are giving us more and more pressure, like, you really believe the Bible? Yes. But we understand God's preparing us for the future. He's called us to speak up. The Corinthian church had to understand this. But look at verse 6. I think this is really cool. They were enriched in speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. He talks about this confirmed testimony. And you know what God's called us to? Not only has God called us to this place together, God's called us to speak up about our faith, but do you know that God's called us to a growing testimony? That our testimony should be growing? That your knowledge of God, as it grows, your understanding, it produces a growing testimony. That this is why we've got to pay attention to the voice of the Lord today. This is why we've got to understand this sanctification process. We're growing up in our faith. We're learning more and more how to trust the Lord more and more as days go by. And this is why we understand this growing testimony is normal. And this testimony was confirmed among them as they trusted the Lord, as they went through trials and difficulties. The testimony was confirmed as they prayed about things, and they were called to come, like we're going to do tonight, come together in worship. And it's a night of seeking the Lord. It's not just a night of performative singing. It's a night where we're going to come and pray and seek the Lord. And this is why we are a church together in this growing up together. They were called together, sanctified together, because they're learning to trust the Lord together. Learning to walk with the Lord together. And this is where we grow up in prayer. We grow up in our disciplines together, our spiritual disciplines. And I love this beginning of this book of Corinthians, because he talks about that the testimony of Christ was, look at that, confirmed among you. You know what? It's our faith experiences that we when we're trusting God in the dark, when we're when we learn to trust God, when we don't see the outcome, or it's the trials of life, help us confirm our testimony together. And as I look at this passage, it moves us, I believe, to a growing testimony as they're growing up in their faith, and it's confirmed among them. Do you know, when I think about this, this week was striking to me. I was at a really tough funeral on Thursday of a couple. I preached their wedding, and last Sunday, I mentioned it last Sunday in this service. I found out Doug died in this service. And you know, I at the funeral, I saw the Eason's. And they were such a cool family. I saw Rusty, I saw his parents. And you know, as I look at how my testimony in my life was confirmed, they reminded me of that. There was a moment that I preached Rusty's wedding. He and his wife were at the funeral, and his parents were there. And you know, Robin and I, we had a really clear moment with the Eason's. Because I preached their wedding in August, and in February, Robin and I were Eric had just been born. Our son had just been born. And we were learning to live on one income, and things were really tight. And we never stopped giving. We never stopped tithing. And my Beretta died. My Chevrolet Beretta died. That was a cool car. It's a cool car. 5-speed Chevrolet Beretta died. Threw a rod in the engine. And I was like, honey, the Beretta died. We cried. Now, we could have stopped tithing and given that to a car payment and well-funded a car payment. But we said, Lord, you're going to provide. And we watched the Lord provide. But it was before he provided a car. We were $100, we were $98 short in our checkbook. And Robin's like, I'm nervous. And I was like, you know, we'll trust the Lord. We'll trust the Lord, honey. And I went to church and I said, we're gonna trust the Lord. After I left, Mrs. Eason comes by the house. It's in February. She goes, oh, Robin, I'm so sorry. Here. Handed her some Brahms like ice cream dishes and some ice cream, and goes, this has been in my trunk. Now, the ice cream wasn't in the trunk. The ice cream was new. But she goes, here, you preached Rusty's wedding, and we're just now giving this to you. And in that was a $100 bill. And we were now $2 in the positive. And you know what? We watched the Lord provide. Do you know one of the ways that my testimony with the Lord has been confirmed over and over again? It's when I've learned to give. You know, there's a lot of disciplines here that you see. But do you know what the Corinthian church was learning to do? They were learning to embrace this call to give. Do you know that as a church, the reason we talk about giving, because it's in the giving, and when I learned to give, that's been one of those moments that God has confirmed my testimony. And you know, I don't know if you've experienced that. This week, the reason this is on my mind today is Brennan sent me a picture this week. Rhonda, put that picture up of Brennan. This is Brennan and Reese, and this is going to cost me $10. Because I give $5 to every kid I use as a testimony. I still have credit with you. But Brennan and Reese had a conversation this week. And it was a great opportunity. She got some money for her birthday, and it is burning a hole in her pocket. And he said, honey, let's sit down and talk to you about this. And I got a picture of this next thing. He sat down with her and said, honey, I want to tell you something. Look, God gives you resources. Look at verse 7 And then we'll come back to this. Look at verse 7. It says, so that you are not lacking any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Corinthian church was learning? That God has resourced them. You know what I think we need to learn? How God has resourced us. And back to this picture, you see Brennan saying, hey, Reese, look, God gives you money. God gives you all the resources you have. And you know what you need to learn is to tithe, to give to the Lord. And he taught her that. He said, you also need to learn to save. And you need to learn to then invest. And then you can spend some. And he was just telling me about that. I thought, you know what? That's one of the ways my testimony has been confirmed. Look out. Look at the Corinthian church. They're learning over and over again that God is faithful. Your testimony is confirmed. And can I challenge us? Do you realize that we are called to give together? That's one of those spiritual disciplines that we have learned. And it was a beautiful picture this week as Brennan taught his daughter that God is the provider, that look, you save. And this is what struck me, both corporately and individually, that as we embrace this calling to serve the Lord, one of the ways I've learned to trust the Lord in my life is I've watched him provide for me over and over again. And so here's a challenge. You know, for us as a church, corporately, together, God moves us corporately and individually, but corporately to planned generous giving. And so as a church in Corinth, they were called to this place to go with an open hand. And I pray for our church that we have an open hand. This church together, they were moved to wise savings. And our church has historically done this. Save wisely. And you know what? I pray that we save with intentionality. We plan for the future. We're having a meeting today with our campus development team to plan for the future. You know, God moves us corporately and individually to planned and responsible spending. And this is why we built this. They're doing this. Do you know what God's doing in the Corinthian church, though? He's calling them together to a place. He's calling them together to speak up and share the gospel. He's calling them to this growing testimony where God's story is confirmed over and over again. And this is what God's doing in us. This is why I pray that we learn, as we dig into the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians, we learn the power of unification when we walk together as a body. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to enable us to cross the finish line. Do you know that you're called to the finish line of life? Do you know there's a calling? You're going to cross the finish line. And do you know what I pray that we understand that when we get to heaven, we're going to know one another. We're going to know that we serve the Lord together. And you know what God is calling us to be? A faithful church that is focused on injecting ourselves to this community, into this community. And I pray that God finds us faithful. And I pray that we as a body learn to walk together. We learn, like the Corinthian church had to learn, that look, we're all different, but when we stay together, look, we live in a divided world, and you know what this community needs to see more than anything is a unified church. We'll never be unanimous. I'll never be a perfect pastor. You'll never be a perfect church member. But do you know what God's called us to do is to walk together. And as we grow to trust the Lord and give to the Lord, speak up and serve the Lord and live faithfully, do you know what is certain? That we will cross the finish line hearing those words, well done. And that's my prayer. The Corinthians is an important book for us. These first four chapters are important for us. And I pray the Lord speaks to our church, bringing us together, walking together. And you know where that's going to continue? Is tonight. As we come together to seek the Lord, let me tell you, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need the wisdom of the Lord. We need the strength of the Lord. We need to seek the face of the Lord. We need to recognize that God's writing a growing story, a growing testimony among us. And maybe that story begins for you today. Like Austin that said, you know what, I've not really come to Christ. He came to realize no one can decide that for me. He was baptized as a baby. And he goes, look, that's not going to work. I need to come to Christ. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to come to Christ. Our staff's going to be down front. In fact, I'm going to ask our staff to come down front. And maybe you need to come to Christ. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you're out of order there. Maybe you've not followed the Lord in that and been obedient in that. Maybe you're just baptized as a baby. You know, baptism is no one can do that for you. Believer's baptism is important. Maybe today you need to start plugging into a group. You know, maybe you're not known here. You must be known here. Paul knew about Sosthenes. The church is to be known. It's not to just check in and listen to the music and hear a message that makes you feel good. No, it's to be known, to walk together. That's church. Maybe you need to plug into a group. You know what? Maybe you need to start giving. Maybe you're stuck in your walk, your growth, because you've not yet trusted the Lord in your generosity. Or maybe you're just stuck in debt and you're not living within your means. You know, my prayer for us is that we walk together and we give together. We serve together. We impact this community together. Look, we're not to be a quiet church. We're to disrupt this place. We're to infiltrate every part of this community. That's what God's called us to do. Hey, let's walk together. Our staff's down front, and I don't know how you need to respond today, but I pray that you listen to the voice of God today. Father, we need you. And I do pray that our church would be unified. Father, this is these first nine verses of 1 Corinthians 1. I just can't even talk about all that I want to today. But Lord, I just pray you'd speak. You'd lead. You'd lead us together. I pray that's what we would catch today. The call to walk together. I pray for tonight as we come to seek you. Father, would you move us to pray and help us be a people that seek you. Oh, Lord, we love you. We need you. We trust you today. Move us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.